Welcome to the Unlocked podcast. I'm Agata, and today I'm here with Andy, who is the founder of Hard Edge, which is a creative agency that helps brands to make a better world. We would love to talk about Hard Edge more in detail later on, but before we get to that, I would like to ask you about how did you get where you are today, and how did your career start?
Hi, and hello everyone else who's joining. My career started probably like a lot of you guys. I used to spend more time on my headings in school than I did on the actual essay. So I guess I've always had a creative flair, but never the most talented by any stretch. But I did year 12 and then went on to do a one-year bridging course to try and get my skills a bit better, and managed to get into a graphic design course. And when I got out, I didn't do much with it initially. I just saved up to travel. But I then got a job working in a big publishing house in Australia and in their creative services. So that was designing ads for anything, like a little strip ad to a full page feeler ad in a magazine. So it was a great experience, and I learned a lot of things. Sadly, it shows my age, but when I was in university, computers only just came in sort of halfway through. So I actually wasn't up to speed with all the programs and so forth. So I had to almost learn from scratch all that sort of stuff in my job. But that's how I started, and then moved on to another job where it was a bit sort of higher position, but wasn't a very good company to work for. And didn't enjoy that, and then moved on to kind of like a trade union, and headed up their internal design centre, and that was a great experience. But I've always wanted to go out and do my own thing, so I managed to convince my boss to give me the magazine that we did internal there, give me the magazine so that it could give me enough money to go out my own, and so that's when I moved from the office to my my living room.
And how did you become interested specifically in design for change?
For change, you mean? So like the focus of the agency now? Yeah, so behaviour change, when we first sort of started redefining the agency, so like a lot of small agencies, you try to do anything for anyone, do everything, because usually scrambling to get work and all that sort of thing. And we were really trying to hone in on our proposition. So to be effective, like in business and so forth, you actually have to really stand for something. People have to understand very quickly what type of work you do and so forth. And we didn't really have that at all. We just had the same clients that we'd work with and just tried to get as much work as we could and that kind of thing. So it was actually through founding React when back in 2016 when we started React. We became very passionate very quickly about it and realised that behaviour change was something we really wanted to focus on. So at that time, agencies were doing behaviour change, but it wasn't really like everybody's saying it now. Sort of the front of the wave, if you like, but you know, very quickly everyone jumped on board with behavior change. But so it's taken us 5 years, but we're actually approached now by people to do that type of work, and you know, it takes, obviously we had a lot of learning to do ourselves, but yeah, it's good.
Well, that links to my next question, actually, that what were some of the challenges and rewards of setting up your own company?
Right, well, you want to learn from my mistakes?
Definitely, yes.
I would say one of the biggest challenges I had is I hadn't really ever worked in an agency myself. Like, I hadn't been exposed to the way agencies work. And to this day, that's still something, you know, like you could look at us today and say, oh, you've got a successful business and all that kind of thing. And yes, but there's still learnings, like gaps in my learnings from not having that experience when I was younger. So I would say that's one, you know, one thing I wish I had have done is gone out and worked in another agency for a year or two and just understood how they work. That would have been really helpful. I guess I tried to do it smartly by making sure I had enough work before I went out. So I had an income to support me straight away. You know, some people just leave their job and hope it's going to come and go out looking for work, but it doesn't necessarily come. So I was doing a lot of work nights and weekends. You know, I was actually earning more doing my own business on the side than I was in my real job. But when I left my real job, you know, I actually had, there was no change in my lifestyle or anything like that. But some of the challenges, you know, is working alone. You know, I didn't go into a partnership, which has its own sorts of challenges, but working alone and starting alone and trying to build a business from that was very challenging. Not just financially, but I think, you know, almost mentally, because you're literally facing every challenge by yourself. You know, certainly, you know, I'm a social person or a social person back then, but like I would still at night, I'd go home more or less alone and stuff. So you actually get in your own head quite a lot as far as, you know, you don't switch off from the day. So I think, you know, definitely making sure that there's that separation there of work-life balance is really key and not easy to do when you're starting your own thing. But, you know, everything becomes, well, I was going to say, and the other thing is you take everything personally. And I never knew what people meant by that for so many years, but I do now. And it's not that I'm personally upset. It's just that I'm personally trying to get somewhere and stuff didn't work out or whatever that might be. But that also makes it most rewarding as well, because, you know, your business is you. You know, you've put everything into it. And so when the wins do come or the good things happen, they're a lot more rewarding too. But, you know, I've been very proud of the clients that we've had over the years and the people I've worked with, suppliers and employees, and very proud of the type of work that we're doing now, which makes a positive impact rather than, you know, just selling car insurance or whatever that might be that we used to do. You know, we used to sell Mercedes, well, not sell, sorry, we used to market Mercedes-Benz car insurance, you know, like, but this is so much more rewarding doing behavior change work that makes it a difference. Yeah.
And it also looks like you are very passionate about React and this whole thing. Can you tell us about React a little bit?
Yeah, well, I for years wanted just to start something that we gave back to people that were doing the course, you know, students that did the course that I did personally, and give them a bit of a real world experience. And so, you know, like we got it set up in the first year, and we chose the issue as being a, you know, safer use of mobile phones and vehicles. But I think the experience out of that, you know, of seeing young people like yourself develop campaign, like road safety is a pretty boring topic and probably something that, you know, young people don't really think about a lot. It's not top of mind sort of thing. And seeing go from that to being really engaged in it and changing their own behaviours and changing the behaviours of people in their networks. And, you know, it is globally the biggest killer of young people between 9 and 24, and not many people realise just how, you know, how big that of an issue that is. So after that first year, we just could see with not just the students and the universities, but also the partners, of just how much it meant to them to be a part of this. And it was such a positive thing and something that's so needed. So I've dedicated what some might argue way too much of my time to build it, but I don't. I see it as a blessing that I get to do it. But it's certainly taken its toll on trying to build an agency at the same time. but no, it's just really rewarding. And to be able to, you know, just have so many people involved, you know, now, don't quote me, but, you know, there's something like 20 partners and there's, you know, hundreds of students doing it, and it's going across the world. And, you know, this year we're hoping to start in US and Brazil in the second half of the year. And it's just, yeah, it's really, it's become my passion. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. And probably the pandemic changed a lot of things, not just React, but wanted to ask you how the pandemic changed Hardage in general. And is there anything that you or you as a company or in general you as a designer adopted during the pandemic that you think that you will maintain in the long term?
Yeah. Look, well, I mean, obviously the way that we work is, is very different. You know, we're still in Melbourne. We're still working from home. We can work at work, but it's actually not, it doesn't sort of make sense financially and so forth at this stage to go back, especially when we keep sort of going back into lockdown here and there. And so, but the, you know, that we've gotten together to do, you know, sort of some work or meetings, etc. But I think we've had to learn to work a different way. And as an agency, when it's such a collaborative thing of getting together and brainstorming or whatever that might be, I'm sure there is a change to that as far as how effective that is now compared to what it was. But, you know, I think we've just adapted and, like, you know, one day we're going to go back to sort of being relatively normal in the world and so forth. And I think there's been a lot of changes that have happened. And I think, you know, I used to be on a plane every second week for one reason or another, and, you know, I won't need to do that now. So there's a lot of money spent on travel and things that, you know, now we can do over Zoom, and our mentality's sort of allowed us to do that now. So it's accepted. So I think a lot of the things that will change is just more about the ways we work and what's accepted. And obviously there's been a lot more flexibility. So if I think about, you know, my staff, you know, they're working from home, so they don't have to spend time traveling to work and back again, or they, you know, go off and pick up the kids from school, which they couldn't do before, and just things like that. But I think the focus is going to be more on the productivity and the output rather than how many hours you spent, or the hours potentially that you are spending isn't what those hours are. So, you know, long-term, I think everyone's itching to get back. You know, in Melbourne, we were locked down for a long time last year, and everybody thought it, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people thought it was great, you know, to some extent to be at home and working from home. But by the end of 3 months of lockdown, a lot of people were just itching to go back to work. And so I think human nature will see us try to return to that kind of more one, you know, face-to-face and that collaborative working way. Yeah.
Stepping back from the last 2 years and pandemic and reflecting on your career as a whole, just wanted to ask you if what was the hardest thing that you had to learn as a designer, or what advice would you give to a new graduate?
Yeah, well, I think it's different in every case, but I think knowing sort of where your passions lie and what you're good at and what you, you know, believing in yourself. Like I would say that I was never the most creative person as far as what I could design or draw or whatever that might be. But, you know, the ideas I had, I think, was where my strength was. Executing was another thing. So I think just understanding what your strengths are, but what you love to do, and then, you know, how that might fit in, you know, in an agency environment, for example. Like, well, what role would best suit me? You know, like for me, it would have been more of a creative director role than a designer, because I don't think I was the best designer in the world. But as I said, you know, I had ideas. So it's I think it's about understanding yourself and what makes you happy and what you're good at, and just believing in that. So, yeah.
And obviously we are trying to put together a portfolio now and things like that, and just wanted to ask your opinion, what makes a portfolio stand out, or if there's anything specific that you are looking for when people are applying to Hard Edge, or what advice would you give?
This one's easy to answer.
Oh.
Because first of all, like, the type of person I am counts for a lot more than you know, something necessarily in the portfolio. So what I mean by that is how they might fit into the environment, you know, who they are as a person. Do they have a thirst for learning? Do they want to work as part of a team and make things happen and stuff? Like that really is massive, because no business wants somebody coming into their culture and sort of messing around with that. So they, you know, from my point of view, like, you know, we want really good people, you know, just good people that are looking to have the same kind of vision as what everyone else in the agency is looking for. Second to that, as far as the work in the folio, the thing I respect the most is when it's explained in a way that shows that they understand the work they've done. So it's not necessarily how beautiful something might look. It's actually like, this is the process that I went through, you know, this is what it was developed for and what I was trying to achieve. And to have that understanding actually, you know, will most likely lead to a more effective result than somebody that designs for design's sake. So just understanding what they're trying to achieve and how they go about it. Obviously, of course, you know, you want to see talent, and I'm not trying to discount people's talent, but yeah, in a business, you know, it's not where you, like when you go to university, you might get a brief from the lecturer and stuff, and you know, in an agency, it's real world and you have real outputs and all that kind of thing. So someone that can understand that and work towards that is really important.
Thank you so much. And lastly, we have a couple of fire questions that we ask everyone in this podcast series. So if you are up for it,
I'm just gonna
so if you could work with anyone, who would it be?
Wow, that's a bit tough. I think Michael Bloomberg in the States. So I don't know if you know him, but he's a very wealthy man. I think he was going to run for president. But he does a lot in the world for not just road safety, but in middle-income countries and Bloomberg Philanthropies. I think an impressive model of, you know, getting to that stage in life and giving, you know, doing things to actually make it a better world.
Oh, great. And if you could describe your design style in three words, what would you say?
I have a design. In three words, I would say that we are current, clear, and simple.
Mm. The next one is working with friends or family, yes or no?
Look, you know, I don't want to say no.
No.
No. Look, and I have had instances where I've, you know, worked with friends or brought them on. It's just a different dynamic and, you know, friendships are way more valuable than, you know. So, I mean, some people might like it, but I think it just changes the dynamics of the friendship.
Yeah. And the next one, working for free, yes or no?
Well, you got to put food on the table, but, yeah. Are you talking about to get experience?
I think this question was meant to ask if you are, like, an intern or something like that.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't like businesses to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the same time, there's certainly times you sometimes go look at the big picture and doing something because you want to learn or you might love it, as long as you're not being taken advantage of. Yeah, for sure, 100%. Yeah.
And the last question, to new graduates out there, would you say join an agency or start your own?
Work in an agency first.
Andy, thank you so much for joining today, and it has been incredible to hear your thoughts.